Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is Acrisure Stadium, home of the six-time Super Bowl champion Pittsburgh Steelers. And this is St. Vincent College in La Trobe, home of the Pittsburgh Steelers training camp for the next couple of weeks. We've got Sean Brennan, Paddy Small and Brian Howard here, teaching some Steelers players how to play a little bit of GAA with thanks to UPMC.
More than 40,000 Steelers fans will be making the trip from Pittsburgh to Dublin in September for their game against the Minnesota Vikings in Croke Park. The Steelers are coming off successive 10-win seasons and playoff appearances. This season, they're hoping the arrival of Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf and Jalen Ramsey can push them towards what would be a record 7th Super Bowl win. They currently have the most Super Bowls in NFL history at 6, but it's shared with the New England Patriots. So before the business end of the season begins, they invited us along for an inside look at the team's preparations. Let's catch up with Brian, Paddy and Sean to see what they're expecting ahead of our arrival in Pittsburgh during a short layover in Philadelphia Airport.
Welcome back to Off the Ball. We are not in the studio today. We are currently waiting for a flight in Philadelphia Airport randomly, and I'm joined by three of Dublin's finest, Paddy Small, Brian Howard and Sean Brennan. Welcome to Off the Ball, lads. How are we getting on?
How are you?
Hey, pick that microphone up for me there, please, Paddy, just so we can all hear you. So the plan of this trip is to convert Sean into a footballer, isn't it? He's joining the panel next year.
Making a big switch across.
He told me he's the best here at 45, isn't it? So that's the plan for today.
Taking off Connor, whoever's taking off.
No, we're heading across to Pittsburgh Steelers training camp with UPMC. The lads are going to go over there and learn a bit about TJ Watt and Aaron Rodgers and put yourselves through a few drills, I think, isn't it? Is that the plan?
I think I'll stay out of them ones.
You think we couldn't take TJ Watt, no?
He's a big man.
Well, speaking of great American athletes, we were talking earlier, lads, so you have a few who stand out as your favourite US sports stars?
No, yeah, so my favourite American athlete would probably be Katie Ledecky. Just when you talk about like consistency year on year and to be able to beat all the, I know that most of them are hers, but beat all the world records, literally every couple of months she's beating records. So to be able to perform at that level for so long is extremely impressive. So yeah, Katie Ledecky would be mine.
And Sean, you were saying you have a very unusual one that not many people have.
No, probably too very boring in my answer there. I'm going to go with Tiger Woods. Like,
big golf fan, though, that's all it is.
Similar to Brian, yeah, obviously a big golf fan, but just the level of dominance.
Is that the inspiration for hitting the puck outs, dropping them into space, and that's
just
similar?
I just envisaged him using his little 60 degree there from 95 yards. Like, just that's what I aspire to be like.
Paddy?
A few, yeah. Probably back in the day, Muhammad Ali as a child.
Were you watching him then? You were?
YouTube is a good resource. Would have been him. And go American football, although we're going to visit the Steelers.
This comes out after we're there tomorrow, so you're all right.
Probably be Ray Lewis from Baltimore Ravens.
What, Ray Lewis is like really popular all around the world. What is it about him? Like,
my first introduction to him was just, again, on YouTube, just looking up NFL, and he's usually the main character in NFL biggest hits and these types of videos. So yeah, he'd have been one, and he probably would have got me into watching the NFL in the first place.
You're a big Ravens fan, right?
I am a Ravens fan, yes.
And it's because of Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and that era of the Ravens with Joe Flacco going to Super Bowl.
Yeah, that era, yeah, and they beat San Francisco in Super Bowl final. But yeah, that's probably what got me into it.
So you're kind of on this wave that a lot of Irish people are these days, where you've become an NFL fan within the last 10 years, and it's not necessarily like your number one sport, I'm guessing, but it's something you're passionately following and following up your own, right?
Yeah, like there's a lot of coverage of it as well. It's probably the big thing. Like, even things like the Red Zone is brilliant for even casual fans trying to get into it. And just getting exposure and watching the games is brilliant, especially when it comes to the playoffs. And
your plans to go to the game in September?
I do. I have a ticket, so I'm happy out.
Wasn't easy to get, I'd say, was it?
Very hard.
And Sean, you're a similar NFL fan?
I've been a similar boat, yeah. I actually got into NFL. I used to work in a pub, so after my shift on a Sunday night, it was the only bit of live sport on, so I used to sit on the couch and watch the Sunday night game. So then, obviously, Red Zone is a big help in getting into it, and yeah, follow it casually, you know.
Competes with the golf on a Sunday, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, yes, that's what the remote's for. You flick back and forward between the two there. Some of the golf competition can be fairly boring by the Sunday, so depends on who's on.
And Brian, I think you're coming to this from like the novice perspective, I guess, the person who doesn't know too much about it. What do you know? What are your expectations plans for tomorrow?
To be honest, I wouldn't know too much about like the history of it or even many of the players, but just so that the pure like athleticism of all these players, and you see like the offensive line, the running backs, the difference in stature and physical physique, but they're competing at the top level all the time, and to be able to do that consistently, it's something that you nearly strive to be in terms of like even the raw speed of some of these lads or the physique that they're in. It's just so impressive even to watch, even if you're not into the sport or know the rules, because it can be complicated enough. But it's just the pure like athleticism of these players is so impressive.
Well, the athleticism is an interesting thing, because like obviously as intercounty players, you guys have come in at a time when it's not professional, but the standards are essentially professional, and it's an elite athleticism, elite sport. Like, I've noticed myself, I feel like there's more and more people taking from US athletes, taking from NFL players, from NBA players. Is that something you find within like the team group, with like people talking about, oh, Steph Curry does this or LeBron does this kind of a thing? We can kind of follow that.
Yeah, and it's probably stuff off the pitch that they do in terms of like the recovery. There's a lot shown around like American sports and the amount of time they put into their recovery. And I know they're full time and they're professional athletes, but just how well they look after their body. If you look at like LeBron James, to be able to play at, you know, late 30s and at the top of his game, it's all down to his recovery, and he talks about it. Like, he'd be up there 3 hours before a game, 4 hours before a game, doing stretches or mobility work, and then after his rehab in the pool and in compression or whatever it may be. But just it's probably more so like that. I know the sports can be a lot different, but you see even some lads like of Mark Jackson, Charlie Smith going over now, that there's probably a bit of crossover now that people are starting to see with the technique of GAA players kicking off dead balls, and you can see how impressive they've done over there. Like they've sort of broken through a small bit. I know they haven't made it just yet, but it's a good pathway, and I could see a lot of other players having a pathway to go over to potentially give it a try.
Have you ever kicked have any of you ever kicked an NFL ball? Paddy, looking at you as the man kicking a
goal. No.
It's a little bit like a rugby ball, but it's kind of an angular, much less of a sweet spot, which is the difficulty of it, I guess. But it's something you probably more naturally, like you mentioned the lads going over. Someone mentioned it's the only three sports in the world are soccer, Gaelic football, and is it rugby where you kick off the ground? So like for us, it's probably a natural thing, whereas over here, it's kind of a mechanical thought process. I don't know, is that coming into free taking in GAA at all, where you have a specific set routine?
Yeah, like a lot of lads who'd be taking frees consistently, they all have their routine, yeah, and it's transferred into probably every sport with a dead ball, whether it be rugby or even soccer as well, taking a free kick, and you see lads doing the same thing over and over again.
Well, Sean, you're not the man to ask about frees, but you were mentioning there's a few lads who might be a bit jealous that you're heading over to Steelers. A few teammates there thinking they were wishing they were going.
So. Yeah, probably more so the cooler lads anyway. Like, I told them I was going, but I didn't go into too much detail there because I wanted the phone to be clear for the US pre-clearance. You know,
Well, fortunately, he got through, didn't get checked. We're all good. So anyway, the Steelers and the Vikings are playing on the 28th of September in Croke Park. You guys have all obviously played in Croke Park. What are your best memories? I know there's probably some obvious ones there, but are there any kind of overlooked moments that you haven't talked about before beyond lifting the trophy at the end of the season? Brian, what's that with you?
Yeah, there's a couple. I know we were chatting a bit before this, but the parade on All Ireland final day is something that feeling will stick with me forever, and thankfully I've been fortunate enough to walk around it a couple of times. But any sort of parade around Croke Park, when you can actually take time to put into perspective and realise how privileged we are to be able to walk around that pitch.
You look around, because this has been a topic on Off the Ball for the last month or so, because it was Seamus Hickey, I think, was in, and he said he would never look up at all. And then we've had other people come in and say they love looking at all the fans and checking everyone out.
Yeah, I do. I walk around with a smile on my face, just because it's probably the last bit of sort of, not that it's not enjoyable, the game, but you're just so engrossed in the game, but it's sort of a bit of free time prior to the ball being thrown in. So, and you know that they are so precious, those times, and you never know when you're going to get another one. So taking it all in is something that I've been told, my parents are saying it to me from a young age, anytime you get an opportunity to represent your county, to deal with a smile on your face and be proud. So trying to take all that stuff in was really important to me. So that's one that would stand out. But also my debut back in 2017 or something, that my first time playing at Croke Park at senior level. So gone around even the, and it wasn't even this, it was a Leinster semi-final, so it wasn't a sellout or anything like that. There might have been 20,000-25,000 there, but it was just a massive day for me. The hard work I've put in underage, and more for myself and my family and friends to see me out on the pitch, and they knew how much I wanted it. So they'd be two moments that will stick with me forever.
It is one of those things, like you guys, you probably don't even think about this, but you are such a privilege, well, not privilege isn't right because you've earned it, but such a minority group that have played in Croke Park, just playing in Croke Park. I've never done it. Dahi behind the camera, I don't know if you've ever done it, probably has, he's done loads of things, but like it's such an incredible thing to get to do, and I'm not sure how many of the American players will have any history of it or anything like that, but still, like it's a phenomenal opportunity to go.
Yeah, Brian touched on one, would have probably been my debut, but the other one was probably just being a fan of Dublin actually growing up. So I remember being at the 2011 All-Ireland final, that was huge. I was behind the goal, not in the hill on the other side.
You've never been in the hill? Was it you saying you weren't never in the hill before?
Never as a fan, no. Never, no.
Did you climb in there after winning for Ireland?
Sorry, that sounds a bit dodgy. No, I've actually never been, no. Just, yeah. Usually Hogan Cues, like,
still those fandom memories, though, or what's the good even after playing?
I vividly remember 2011. Because I would have been very young at the time, and just the buzz of the whole thing, and even before that, when Dublin probably weren't doing so well, and 08-09, and just even going in to see your own club mates was another thing. We're very lucky in Ballymunkeagham, so we'd a lot of representatives all the time going in there, wearing the blue jersey. So yeah, they would probably just be great memories actually going in and supporting, especially as a young person.
And Sean, relatively recently you've won a club All-Ireland in Croke Park, I think. Is that where we're going?
Yeah, 2016-17 seasons, yeah. Obviously, like Paddy there, like obviously 2011, 2013, you know, 2015 there on the hill supporting the Dublin footballers and stuff. Like, Croke Park is just a special place when it's full. It's just like Aaron Naveen, our national anthem, just with 82 or 83,000 people, you just get goosebumps. Like, so it's just a phenomenal place to be as a supporter. Obviously, a bit of success there with the club. Probably favourite memory is probably the Ballymun All-Ireland Club Final in 2017. That was my first game in Croke Park, and obviously we won an All-Ireland Club Final, so that's pretty special to be able to say that. Obviously most recently, you know, a really good win against Limerick with Dublin, and got to play in front of a packed Croke Park in All-Ireland semi-final against Cork as well. So yeah, it's a special place. Like, I know NFL stadiums, some of them don't even hit 82,000, like, so
no.
It's
most of them don't, as
yeah,
far as I know.
It's phenomenal, like, yeah.
So, and you mentioned you went to, and look, Cork man, I really don't want to bring up Cork hurling, but you mentioned you went to the Cork Clare final last year as a fan as well, and that was a first time experience for you, really, was it?
Yeah, on the big day, yeah, it was the first time as a spectator, and it was the most incredible sporting event I've ever been at.
Just Shane O'Donnell and Tony Kelly responsible for a lot of that, I assume.
They were, yeah. Well, there was the, whatever the two teams in terms of the players on the pitch, it was just an absolute spectacle to watch, and I was sitting beside Podge Collins, so I sort of had to be up for Clare, but it was just, I went with the expectation of, oh, it's going to be a great game, but I didn't have any idea it was going to turn out like that. Like, that was the best, like, 90 minutes of sports I've ever seen. Just two teams going at it and left everything out there, and you had the highs and lows of 10 points up, I think Cork were at one stage, or 8 maybe, and then Clare coming back taking lead. It was just amazing. Yeah, and I went with my dad, so two of us don't really get to go to many games together, but yeah, we went. It was just a special day.
Yeah, I wouldn't describe that as the best 80 minutes. Not great memories for me there. But lads, what about tomorrow? What are our expectations? Who's going to be the best in these drills that we go through? And what are you looking forward to most to seeing tomorrow?
Yeah, so I was just very intrigued to see how their training actually works. Like, obviously, we're going to see the training camp. Like, so just as a sports fanatic, like, just seeing what their day looks like. Obviously, there's only so much we're going to see, but how they structure the day. I think it's quite a long day that they're doing as well. Like, so, you know, an hour and 20 minutes, I'm wrecked after training, like, so.
Typical goalkeeper.
Sun there, fall over every now and again. So I'm just intrigued to see what their day actually looks like, what the structure is like, you know, how physically intense it actually is for the duration of it. Obviously, I'm sure there's going to be plenty of ups and downs in terms of physical output, like, so. Just be fascinating to see, and seeing some big names up front.
Ready?
Similar enough to Sean there, yeah. Just, I suppose, seeing how they operate from up close and personal. I know that in training camps there's a lot of people probably at the back end of the roster that are fighting for spots and literally fighting for to even start a career in the NFL. So seeing how those guys operate as well, and just to hopefully see the whole physicality of it. These are freak athletes, so getting up close and personal, seeing how they go about their business, I'm looking forward to seeing.
Brian, you have about 24 hours to figure out all the rules. I'm not going to be much help yet, to be honest, because it's quite difficult, but how are you feeling?
Looking forward to it. It's more like even the lads were saying, the way they operate, but also the facilities, they're meant to be insane in these professional sports in America. So just the size of their gyms, like they could have 100-120 people in the gym at one time, and just the facilities that they have and how they operate is probably something that I'm most looking forward to.
Ideal. Next time you see us, guys, we'll be in Latrobe, just outside of Pittsburgh, at Pittsburgh Steelers training camp.
While the lads were mixing it with the Steelers players, I ventured out into the 5,000 plus fans who are attending training camp to watch practice today to get their opinions.
Right, so we're here at Steelers training camp and I bumped into two big Steelers
Mike
fans.
Mike and Debbie.
Mike and Debbie. How long have you been Steelers fans?
Our whole life, 69 years.
Pittsburgh born and bred?
Not Pittsburgh, West Virginia. We're an hour away from the Steelers, from the regular field. But what? It's first time here at the training camp.
Oh, brilliant. It's your first time here. So it's been a long time coming to come here, is it?
I can't believe we've never been here before, because this is a super, super unbelievable facility. And in the last Super Bowl, we were in Tampa, but tickets were too much. Just like I'm saying, we need to have cheaper tickets. I have two nephews who live in Frankfurt, and they both want to go to the game in your country.
In Dublin.
They want to go see it. But the money is
put
just
the call out. Put the call out. The people will search tickets for you.
Right.
How's that? How do you do it?
Hey, you never know. A crowd, someone will pop up.
Well, they've tried. Believe me, they're avid Steeler fans, and they follow them all over. But they're over there, and they loved it when you guys brought them to Ireland.
What's your favorite memory as being a Steelers fan?
At the last Super Bowl, like I said, we went to Tampa when they played Arizona. And interception that Harrison had at the end of the half, and he ran it back 99 yards. I got kicked out of a bar. There was an Arizona fan. We were at a bar right outside where the stadium was, because we couldn't get tickets. And there was this girl screaming anti-Steelers. She was MFing the Steelers the whole first half. And she had this Arizona towel. And then when he ran that back, I took my terrible towel and I said, "What do you think of that?" She started crying and they kicked me out of the bar. That's a true story.
What's the most important thing Irish fans should know about Steelers fans before they come over?
I just hope that you guys can understand and appreciate. I know soccer's big over there and stuff, but I appreciate you guys bringing the football from here to see what our football's like. And I just hope someday that you guys can appreciate it and see games and follow. I think we're going to have a good team. I think it's going to be a surprising team. I mean, all the predictions I've said, either first and second in a division, and maybe, you know, make a wild card. Even if we make a wild card, I still think we got a good chance this year. I mean, I'm so proud of them. So lucky to be here. So lucky to be Steeler fans.
My name's Don Jack, Steelers fan from Katanning, Pennsylvania.
So you've been Pennsylvania born and bred?
Yes, sir.
So how come we got the Steelers, like, unlike any other franchise, it feels like, maybe the Cowboys or something like that, you get fans from all over the country, all over the world. Why do you think that is?
I think mainly because I would say we were so dominant in the 70s, you know, obviously four Super Bowls. National media wanted to make us America's team. We didn't want it. Art Rooney said we're Pittsburgh's team, but that just doesn't stop people from liking us. We're the grittiest, most hard-nosed franchise in the entire league. Everybody likes, you know, a blue-collar, you know, sort of feel. Football's a hard sport. Obviously, you're going to root for the team who does it the hardest. That's why we got so many fans in Mexico and, you know, Ireland, Brazil, places like that, you know.
So what does being a Steelers fan mean to you?
It means my whole life. I mean, I grew up, my grandfathers, my great-grandfathers, my dad was a big Steelers fan, my mom's a big Steelers fan, all of my siblings are. So, I mean, it's just everywhere I go. I have so much Steelers memorabilia at my house, you know. It's just natural, second nature to me.
And is this your first training camp, or have you been to a lot?
Actually, this is my first training camp. I've been to a lot of Steelers games. I was at the one in 2013 where Antonio Brown stepped out of bounds to eliminate us from the playoffs. It's a fun experience, yeah. But
a strong memory.
Yeah, that one, and then the 2010 game where Paul Amalu jumped over to sack Kerry Collins on the 2-yard line.
Is that your favorite Steelers memory?
I would probably say watching Super Bowl 45, despite the result, with my family, because everybody was there for that one. I watched 40 and 43 just at home alone with my dad and my mom. But I was pretty young then, so you know, I don't really remember it as much.
There's a real family team to your fanhood then, is there?
Oh, yeah. Everybody in my family just, you know, loves the Steelers. We've watched the Steelers since they were founded, pretty much. I mean, we've been in Pittsburgh forever. And, you know, I'm just happy to be a fan still.
Ireland fandom would be very similar. Your family supports one team, so you follow them like that. What would you want, like, the Irish people? Because obviously loads of Pittsburgh fans are coming in September for the game against Minnesota. I don't know if you're going yourself, but there's so many people coming to Ireland. What would you want the Irish people to know about what Steelers fans are and what they stand for?
We are some of the craziest fans in the entire league. Obviously, you know, a lot of us are born as Irish. I'm Irish myself by descent, about, you know, like, quarter maybe. So, you know, it's not too far. Ireland and Pittsburgh, there's a reason why, you know, we get along. Dan Rooney, the ambassador to Ireland for President Obama. You know, there's just a lot that we have in common. Show up, be rowdy, be loud, and jump out of your seats whenever Renegade plays.
Oh yeah, Renegade, that's something Irish people are going to have to learn about.
Absolutely, yep.
So what are your predictions for the season? How excited are you for it?
I'm very excited. To be honest, well, I'm hoping that we go like 13-4, but I think more realistically we'll go 11-6 or 12-5. But I do think that we at least make the AFC Championship, and that's kind of a hot take with teams like Buffalo and Kansas City. But you know, I genuinely think this is the year that we have a shot with Omar Khan tooling up our team so much. It's just something is different this year than it has been in the years past, and I have not said that for the past 5 years.
So the road to the Super Bowl goes through Ireland. Thanks
yes,
very much.
Thank you. Anytime.
So it's about 36 hours maybe later than we last saw you in the airport. We're in a little bit of a better setting, a little bit of a quieter setting, nicer setting. My sun is out. Lads, how we had, what, zero rules known in the airport? Where are we at? No, it doesn't have to be rules. Maybe players, concepts, teams?
Yeah, definitely. Like the players, we got to meet the opportunity to meet five of them yesterday, which was very special. To be honest, I didn't know any of them prior to that, but there'll definitely be ones I'll be following now for the season ahead.
Calvin Austin in particular was pretty good, wasn't he?
Oh, he was brilliant. And even the he fairly grasped the rails fairly fast, and even the soloing, the bounce, and even with the hurl, it was something I was very impressed with. Now, a few of the others were fairly poor at it, but it was good.
A few of the others were fairly poor, and you're not talking about Sean's first attempt here with the already hot. What, can you explain this to the people at home, please?
I'm saying nothing on that. Like,
well, if you don't say anything, the rest of us are going to explain. Do you want us to say it? Or lads, you saw it. What happened? What happened on his first attempt?
So Sean was talking up a massive game, giving him the rails, giving him a breakdown of how to use the hurl, and first shot, shanked the ball. It was the most embarrassing thing ever.
Double.
He redeemed himself the second time, and then it happened again the third.
We're blaming the hurl. He didn't have the big boss that the goalkeepers always need, doesn't it?
Hit when your hurl's half the size, to be fair, like so.
Well, how was the experience overall beyond that most embarrassing moment for you?
Yeah, pretty good. It's pretty special to see them up close and personal and see how they kind of operate. Obviously you watch a bit of it at home, like so, to be standing so close to them in the flesh, like, and those are such physical specimens. It's really interesting to see the level of detail that they have to go through in the trainings. Obviously we got to see a bit of the walkthroughs and stuff, and like everything is so pinpoint accurate, and a couple of guys were explaining to us all the variations, all the plays, and there could be hundreds of variations on four or five different plays. Like, so even like the level of intelligence you'd need to actually fully comprehend and understand all that, like, it's, I don't know if I'd be able for it.
Well, like, Paddy, like, did that surprise you? It surprised me yesterday how kind of slow moving it was, and how methodical everything was, and how much there was standing around. And like everyone we've talked to here, all the conversation was about what you're saying. It's so mental. Like did you know that coming in as an NFL fan?
I suppose, yeah, it's probably a small bit in terms of the actual nature of the game, but you're right, it's probably a bit different to the Gaelic training. It's a bit more free-flowing and stuff, but I think it's just the nature of the game. But at the same time, it's so impressive, just the actual details that they actually go into. Like Sean said, you could have 7 or 8 plays and there's 20 different variations of the play, so actually seeing that and the level of detail was very impressive.
Well, we talked about putting you up against TJ Watt, but TJ made sure to stay away from us. He didn't come near us at all. But we were about 7 metres away from DK Metcalf at one stage, watching him doing one-on-ones. That was ridiculous, wasn't it?
He's a freak. He's a total freak. And there's another guy, Darnell Washington, number 80. 6'7". I'd say he's about 150 kilos and he can shift as well. So, yeah, they're big guys.
We had that 7-on-7 thing as well, where they were on the 2-yard line, and we got to see Aaron Rodgers in kind of not necessarily full flight at this stage of his career, but he was still like throwing dimes and he hit a few touchdowns up wide. Like, we were right next to that at the back of the end zone. That's got to be one of the cooler things we've kind of seen live, right?
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. Like, obviously, Aaron Rodgers is probably one of the better known people in the NFL, especially probably for an international audience. There's a profile he built up in Green Bay and stuff like that as well. So, like, seeing someone of his caliber, probably wouldn't, like, he'd probably be Hall of Fame and all that type of stuff down the years. Like, so seeing someone like that in the flesh up close is pretty cool.
So, Brian, is Pittsburgh Steelers training camp the weirdest place you've been recognized in your life by Irish people? There was a swarm of them at one stage.
Yeah, it was. You don't really expect to be walking around Pittsburgh and get a tap on the shoulder. But yeah, we met some lads from down. They were over to play football for the weekend, so that was cool.
It really does fit that stereotype that we are everywhere and we all know each other, which brings us to who's leading us here this week, which is somehow your next door neighbour from when you grew up. Please explain that to us.
Yeah, that's pretty weird story there. So Greg is working on the Steelers marketing and PR team. Greg lived in the same state, grew up in the same state as me. Like, obviously, both of our families went to the same primary school, secondary school, so we would have carpooled to school together in the mornings. And then next thing I walk into the Steelers training camp, is there he is. So it's pretty weird.
It was kind of cool. He was wearing the Steelers Irish hat as well, the green and white with the logo. It was unbelievable. And that's like, what about the stadium here? I know we've got one fan of another team. We mentioned it already. We won't mention it where we are, but being here, seeing the stadium. Notably, we've already said it's not as big as Croke Park, but it is incredibly impressive, right?
Super impressive, yeah. I think we all walked in and the first thing we asked was about the Dark Knight Rises. Yeah. This is where Bane comes out of the stadium. So I know it's super cool. It's a pretty cool experience. We're obviously here in the stand, so yeah, a few Batman fans here as well, which always helps.
So that's is there a particular highlight from the week, or from the 3 days? It feels like it's been a week. We've done so much, packed so much into 2 days, but is there any particular highlight for you, Brian?
Yeah, it was probably meeting Cam Johnson, just because he's not from here, he's from Australia, and to make that transition to come over and a couple of years ago and getting the opportunity to meet him was brilliant. And especially he went through last year nearly a career ending injury, he's shattered his whole knee, and to see him then back in the flesh a couple of months later was fairly impressive. And even watching the length and the height of his kicks was incredible. So, and he was just such a down to earth nice guy, and he gave us the time of day, which he didn't have to, like they were in mid training session and he was coming over and chatting to us, which was fairly special.
They were booming those punts, like, weren't they? Like just the technique. Did he talk to you about the technique at all, or anything like that?
He did, and like we gave it a try, and it's nearly impossible. Like, and I know that's their job, and they try that every day and practice it. But like, they're literally pinpointing a mark on the pitch from like 78 yards away and being able to drop it there with spin, judging the wind. It's incredible to see them up close.
We all did a bit of punting, though. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was very cool. Yeah, but like Brian said, actually seeing the experts do it was pretty cool. Like, there's like Cam there, he had a hang time of 6-7 seconds with the ball in the air. Like, it's crazy. And then we were chatting to Calvin Austin, who's a punt returner as well, and talking about how he goes about that as well. When he's 21 lads converging on him, trying to essentially put him into the ground. So it was very cool actually seeing him up front in person.
It kind of highlights the value of being here and being at games, because you're seeing a punter, like on TV you see a punter and it's like, oh, he's punting the ball, who cares, I'll go get something to eat or something, I won't pay attention. But then seeing it up close in person, it was just something completely different, which I guess brings us back to the game in September. Like, right, I know you weren't scheduled to go before this trip, I don't think, but you were just saying you're looking to go to an NFL game now, right?
Yeah, and especially with the Steelers, like, I feel this is going to be my team now that I follow. But I've seen a few games and I didn't really know the rules, but seeing the training session and seeing the amount of details that go in and even some of the drills they're doing, I'm like, I can definitely see myself picking it up. And I think September might be a bit close to try to get tickets for the game now, but I'll definitely be watching it either way.
I mean, we're in the locker room, surely someone around here can slip you a ticket. We'll try and talk to them behind the scenes. Anyway, lads, thanks for that. It's been a brilliant trip. We've had a great time, and the Steelers have been incredible for us as well, giving us all this access, so thanks to them as well.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.